둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see it's you.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
Got what? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See the Podcast, Season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Filmography is back, and just in time for Halloween season, we're taking a deep dive into the master of horror, John Carpenter. Starting September 27th, host Dominic Suzanne Mayer and a rotating panel of guests will break down each of Carpenter's 20 feature-length movies to date, with new episodes every Thursday. Grab your synthesizer, your flares, and your best Shatner mask, and come along on this latest journey with us.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With, an interview series presented by WFPK Independent Louisville at WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound and the Consequence Podcast Network. Hey, take a second before we get started here to hit the subscribe button wherever you're listening from, whether that's on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts from. Go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We put out multiple interviews every single week and would love for you to keep along with us. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, I'll be talking to Aloysius from Young Fathers. They put out one of my favorite records of 2018 called Cocoa Sugar, and we're going to take a deep dive into the record, how it's transformed throughout the year in the live show, as well as how it's reflected the global chaos that's been happening here on planet Earth. Specifically, we'll get into their latest single, Border Girl, and its possible themes of immigration. And we'll also talk about what happened to all the other songs. It was reported that they recorded around 40 songs, only 12 made the record. He gives us a little insight into that as well. And then we wrap up on some daydreaming about what the next Young Fathers record could sound like. And there's some pretty interesting, maybe even far-out concepts the band could go to. It's Kyle Meredith with Young Fathers.
How you doing, mate?
I gotta tell you, Cocoa Sugar is one of the coolest, best records of the year, hands down, easily.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, like, the album's, like, for you all, it's a year old now. I mean, it came out, you know, in the beginning of the year, and I'm sure it was done for a little bit before that. As you look back on it now, has it changed for you? Has this album, you know, sort of developed or evolved from when you started?
Yeah, I would say so. I think with each album or each song, I think that always ends up being the case, because when you tour with something, when you're doing the live shows, and it, you know, it takes on a different life. You know, it takes on another life of its own, because you're performing these songs and they kind of, and the meanings change sometimes. You know, the feelings isn't necessarily exact with each show. It just kind of, like you say, it just kind of evolves. It keeps, it's like a continuation of that. And when you look back on it, well, when I look back on it now, it's definitely the album that gets people interested. I think it's the album that makes people think, oh, I think I can get into these guys. You know, that's what it's for me. And it's definitely one of those ones that I feel like folk can go back to. And that was what we tried to do with the artwork as well. It was that kind of thing where you second glance and you're like, okay, what is that? Like, whoa, that's a bit interesting. Like, what is that? Like, I need to check these guys out. You know, I think, and that's what I would like to happen with this record. You know, I think, like you say, it's close to a year old. It came out early part of the year, but finished a bit before. But I want people to just to keep going back to this. And then by going back to this album, you're going to find other stuff that led up to this. You know, and I think it's just the best way for that to happen with, you know, great artwork and a great record, you know, that allows people in.
Right, and there's so many layers with these songs. I mean, because you first listen to them and, of course, you know, it's just... You're just kind of taking it in as it comes and then to kind of dig into it and dig into it. I find something new every single time I listen to it.
That's great. Thank you. That's a great compliment. Yeah.
You know, when I read about how this record was created and really taking advantage of those spontaneous and free-flowing moments in the studio, how is it to try to be that spontaneous night after night with this song? And I'll bring up a quote recently I read from Francis from the Pixies. You know, because the Pixies sound, their early sound was built a lot of, you know, trying to sound spontaneous. And now he finds himself trying to sound spontaneous, and that's its own challenge. So to kind of, to reproduce this night after night after night, is it any kind of challenge to get to a space where you're not just recycling what you did?
To be honest, I think it's easy and hard at the same time. It's like, it depends on the kind of performer that you are. I think we're all very self-aware when we're on stage. You know, I think that's so you can react. It's kind of like a reactionary thing. We already know the songs like the back of our hand. It's all muscle memory. So then it's when you get on stage, there's a whole justified sign written across the stage, and we have to justify one another, justify the group, justify why you're different from everybody else, and why you deserve to be up on that stage expressing yourself. So for me, there's not a right or wrong way about it. If you feel a type of way, you feel like, oh, I can't be arsed today. But as soon as you get on stage, you can be arsed because you care. You care, and it still matters. You know, music and performance still matters because, you know, it's definitely something that we all hold dear and feel that it changes people. It creates moments that can easily be broken. You know, you're creating something that wasn't there. You know, essentially, that's what you do with music. It's all up in the ether. You're picking sounds. You're borrowing from this space that you don't know what is, but you make something that's tangible. So when you're live, you know, that's the most, probably the most tangible thing you can do, is like you're doing something from start to finish, has a beginning, middle, and end, has dynamics. You're doing it in front of a crowd who give you this external output. That's what it essentially is. It's an external output from an internal place. So if you're performing to them and you're justifying all these sort of things, you're creating a moment together. You're having a conversation, so to speak. Yeah. And I feel like that's probably one of the places, one of the closest places to equality without sounding so like hippie-ish, you know? It's like that because, you know, but you know what I mean? It's like everybody's there for a cause. Everybody's there for a reason. They can leave whatever it is at the side, have a good time. You know, like one of my friends was talking about they'd just broken up with her boyfriend that night when they got invited to the show. But she came along, she had a good time, and she enjoyed herself. She came with one of her other friends. And it was just a place to kind of, you know, let go a bit. You know, let go for that hour and a bit, you know, and just kind of forget about, you know, and as performers, we also have to do that as well. But we have the luxury of like using those things, using those frustrations, using those kind of discrepancies and putting that into a performance. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you're not in a good mood about whatever, you can just put that in a stare, you can put that in a growl, you can put that in movement, you can just stand like, you know, in some sort of stoic way. But it's also understanding that it's a performance. You know, if you look at all the, you know, the greatest performers, you know, they can do a performance with just a mic and movement. That's it. You know, if you can entertain a crowd on that basic level, if you strip everything back on in its pure simplicity, you know, or try and do this thing where you look outside of yourself, where it's, you know, on the bigger picture, it's like there's a performers, there's a crowd. What's the performer meant to do? Perform. What's the crowd meant to do? Respond. What's the performer also meant to do? React. You know, so it's just all these things that, you kind of graduated or known over the years, you know, and it all just comes that you just understand it's a performance and you care. I think from that simple place of caring, it doesn't matter if you can't be arsed. It doesn't matter if you're tired. It doesn't matter if you've got a bunch of stuff going on in your life that you'd rather not talk about. You still perform. You still go out and do that because it matters.
And I'll kind of pull that into the album too, because you know there's the sound, of course, is what a lot of people do react to when they first hear Young Fathers. And I've heard I've read a lot of critics try to figure out what that sound is, and that sounds like it's always fun for both the critic and for you all to kind of receive that.
Yeah.
I was sort of thinking, and I'll project a little bit. I started thinking that even for as fun as this record can be, I thought you make sounds like what movie makers use as like future dystopian society music. And, you know, and while sort of hyperbolic to say that we're in that dystopian future, because I know there's a lot of bad things, I thought it does feel like we're going in that direction sometimes. And I wonder, you know, and this might be the music that is soundtracking all that. How much of this record is mirroring, you know, what we're experiencing right now in the world?
I think everything filters in. Like there's like a, I think everybody within themselves possess that filter to take things in, to not be aware of something, and then they take something in, and then they internalize it, and it comes out. And for us, it comes out in the form of, you know, writing songs and making music, and you know, you could have ate something that day. And you know, and it tastes really good, and you're in good spirits, and you go down, like the conversations that you have with people, all this stuff, all this experience, all of it works, all of it fuels the fire and fuels the ideas for songs, or it's just little moments, little things, you know. I think that's where it kind of stems from, is from that whole sort of humanity aspect, you know what I mean, of things. And you know, you've got to allow yourself to be aware, you know, of other people in the world and other people's circumstances and how that factors into people being oppressed, you know, judgment, you know, like all the kind of stuff. So I think it's just trying to be aware or trying to be a good human being, as the best that you can be, you know, and that doesn't mean that you're necessarily a role model, or that doesn't mean you're trying to be one, but it's just being aware of all these, the complexities of life of people, you know, because I think people in general we're like simple creatures, but human nature is not. Human nature is unpredictable, it's volatile, it's all those things. But at the same time, it's a wonderful thing, you know, because you can't, it allows things or people to be different. It allows people with huge disadvantages to not necessarily, their outcome not be predicted. You know, it allows room for things to, you know, for things to happen that is unexpected. It's definitely, like, you know, look what's going on in the world. And, you know, it's apparent what's going on in the world. And I think a lot of the stuff that's been going on in the world has been going on for longer than people are even talking about now. You know, I think now people have more voices, you know, and they're being, you know, the whole social media stuff, they're being more proactive. Was it the same as the 60s and 70s? Probably not. But it's like this kind of generation, this society is alluding to some of the stuff that's went back then. And do we have all the answers? No. Is it better? Probably. You know, how much better? Who knows? it's still like a work in progress. But yeah, I would say a lot of some of the songs touch upon these things and allow people to make up their own mind about it, because that's I think that's kind of the and you know, and take something from it and have it mean something to them as well, you know. So that's what's great about it. And that's the same with our performances as well. You want it to mean something to us, so you hopefully it means something to somebody else. And if they can go away with something, you know, or see themselves in that realm somehow, then that's the best thing. I think that's when it kind of translates and it resonates with people more, and that's what keeps them going back to that.
Well, I'll tell you the nice trick, and I know what a lot of artists strive to, is when you're writing about those bigger subjects, to kind of mirror the chaos with the global chaos with the personal chaos. And I think I've seen that written too.
Yeah.
And that's the right line to ride. Like I can take the latest single, Border Girl, and it could be just about a girl on a border, and it's a love story. Or yeah. It could be about immigration.
There you go. Or could it be about, you know, gender fluidity, you know, or it could be, you know, and it's like that, you know, the signs of our times, and, you know, and people having voices and stepping up and wanting to be counted, you know, standing up to be counted and things like that. So it's like, I feel like that's a better way to, for me, that's a better way to kind of protest in a sense. You know, because the options are open, you're all aligned because you have this feeling, you know, or there's a reaction to something, or, you know, I get, you know what, nah. In fact, sometimes you just need to call a spade. You know, I think it depends context-wise, but for this right now, you know, for the purpose of talking about music, yeah, I always prefer these sort of somehow protest or food for thought, you know, and keeping it open and having and being able to, you know, to back it up and having a discussion about it, not just necessarily putting things out there, but going like, oh, I'm just putting stuff out there. We just putting stuff out there into the world. We don't have any answers. You know, if you don't have any answers, why don't you try and find out the answers by having the conversation with people, or when that gets brought up, you talk about it. You're willing to talk about it instead of just putting things out there. Because I think a lot of artists like to just put things out there and say it's like, yeah, it's, you know, it's all the time, you know, yeah, like this is what it's about, you know? And but then they can't back it up, or they don't want to try and justify it, or they don't want to try, you know. I think we're willing. Oh, I'm certainly willing to justify it, and I'm also willing to say I don't know. Mm-hmm. Tell me. Let me understand. Let me, you know, let me come to your world. Let me, you know, let me change my opinion. Let, you know, I think that there needs to be a level of like empathy, or just there's a lack of empathy right now in this world, you know. So it's like, yeah, it's about just being open for that conversation after putting something out there, you know, and not be scared of saying I don't know, because everybody wants to. Somehow everybody, this is feeling like everybody wants to seem really smart, you know, and intelligent and like, you know, well versed and all this, you know, and I think intelligence is like a broad thing. You can't really equate, okay, there's a system, but that's dubious as well. You know, I mean, in fact, I watched this thing and it must have been a couple of years ago, and it had like I think it was a mathematician, a drama teacher, and I don't know if it was a nurse or some sort of maybe other civil servant. And they were doing this kind of IQ test about, you know, and it had all the different topics, all the different parts, and, you know, and it had, someone was doing astrophysics or whatever. So, you know, when it came to maths, of course, he's going to be an astrophysicist, but he's going to be the top. But as an overall thing, the drama teacher got the best overall mark, because it was all different parts of her brain that she was using. It was all like, it wasn't just specific to one thing. So I think people get so caught up about trying to be smart or trying to say the right thing instead of just saying I don't know, or being like, you know, misinformed, you know, because they're going on what and on kind of Chinese whispers, or they've heard one part of a story. You know, it's dangerous for that to happen, but people do it all the time, and things get blown out of proportion, or there's no level of understanding because nobody's taking the time to actually go, you know, I need to check that. I need to check my facts. I need to check that situation, you know, and get all perspectives, yeah. You know, so to speak.
Yeah, I wish so many artists would.
I feel like I'm ranting. Yeah.
No. I enjoy it. I wish so many more artists would kind of take that to heart and do the same thing, because it, you know, we are in a time when that becomes it's so important,
yeah.
And it's, you know, it's just brushed aside and.
Yeah, pretty much, man. Yeah, it's because it's a difficult space to be in. It's a, you know, because if you think of it since like the beginning of time, it's like, you know, art or, you know, freedom of expression or creativity is like, it's kind of revered as this kind of holy grail, like this is a way of life. These people, you know, are forward thinking. They change society. They create, and in a lot of ways they do. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I think the kind of guys that we are, the kind of people that we are, you know, a lot of the certain tropes of like being a musician, yeah, you know, you're gonna say something profound and say something mystical and lead the way. I just think a lot of that, for, you know, probably because you grew up in Scotland, and you know, Scotland, you know, is a nation full of, it's like a glorious failures in terms of, nobody wants to, it's like they don't want to say they're good at anything. Mm-hmm. You know, because certain things are left for the folk from America or England. You know, as soon as you start saying, like, you know what, as soon as you go, you know what, I'm good at that. It's like, oh, you think you're special. You think, you know, no one said, you know, that's the thing. So that's really humble, that sort of aspect for us, you know, growing up in Scotland. But I think that there's always this idea of, you know, trying to be, you know, wanting to teach people something. And I don't necessarily want to teach people something. I want people to teach me something. I want to learn something new. I want to find out information. I've got an inquisitive mind and I'm curious about things. You know, and I think that's why it's always, you know, because you find yourself in a situation where you're talking to people where, like, you can see that they're looking at you for answers, looking to you for answers for something, or to align with their perception of, you know, how a song made them feel or how a lyric made them feel, you know. And in some ways, sometimes it aligns, but sometimes you're like, you just wrote a bunch of words that sounded good, you know, but you're thinking that the power of that, writing some random words together that make something, you put in some sort of sonic landscape, you know, you couple that with that and it complements it and then you create this sort of thing and it makes people feel something, you know, and they hold that to their, you know, to their heart and they want to ask you stuff. So you automatically, as a knee-jerk reaction, want to kind of give them what, you know, what they want. And, you know, but you just got to kind of refrain from that. Just, you know, call a spade a spade. It'd be like, oh, yeah, it was just, you know, if the conversation comes, oh, it was about this. Or, you know, we didn't realize what it was at the time. But, you know, over time, it was, you know, it was an experience. Or I just wrote a bunch of good words. That's it. And it can be like that as well. And that's the beauty of it. you know
again the album, you know, is a year old, and I know there was a lot of songs that I think you guys recorded for this. I think 30 songs, you know, 12 on the record. And
yeah, it's like close to 40, I think.
Are you gonna, I mean, are those lost tracks? Do we wait 10 years for the deluxe edition?
Yeah, you know, maybe that's what it is. When we're you know, needing our pension, then we might start going out, let's dig it in the vaults. Let's try and get some of that. But the thing is, it's like, it's funny because, you know, we're in a playlist society where, like, you make a playlist of stuff, you know, that are juxtaposed against each other. And, you know, we love, it's the light and dark. You know, you go from one thing to another in extremities from both sides. So I think when we did the record and we picked those 12 songs, that was just a collection of songs that fed, that was more together, you know, because each song served a purpose. Each song made sense to the overall album, to the overall picture. And if we'd put in any other songs, it took a different turn. It was going somewhere else. So like when we brought, again, the title track, Cocoa Sugar, you know, we were all wanting that to be on the record because it felt like it fitted, but I feel that song Cocoa Sugar, for me personally, it's an amalgamation of the whole record in terms of like lyric, the present vocals, the sonics, the highs and lows. It feels like if you put a song like that kind of says the whole record, where'd you kind of go from that? Whereas if you have separate songs that allude to that whole thing, which is always better in our eyes, because we love to make albums. We're a group that makes albums, and that's what we want to do, you know. And maybe the next challenge is making a record that just fills singles. Why not? You know, that could be a challenge in itself, you know, and that might be exciting. Or doing what we do and do, you know, do a freaking prog rock. I don't know. and applying what we do to that, knowing that it's not going to sound like that, but there's going to be something that comes from it. You know, I'm really confident in the ability of the group, you know, and what we can do. We've set ourselves up to be able to do anything, you know, and that is a great space to be in. And not many people can be in that space or have the courage to try and do that. And, you know, and that's what I feel is a special quality that we possess as a group, you know?
Well, it's definitely what's made me a fan so far. I mean, the records have meant so much to me, and it's always...
Oh, thanks, Kyle.
Yeah, it's always exciting to hear what you all are doing. So I'll say this. Congratulations again, Cocoa Sugar. It's a masterpiece of a record. As a greedy fan, cannot wait to hear what comes next.
Yeah. Oh, nice one. I much appreciate it, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, have yourself, you know, good holidays and whatever that means to you, and a happy new year, and we'll see you in 2019, hopefully.
Yeah, nice one, buddy. Cheers.
All right, take care, man.
All right, bye.
Hey, my thanks to Aloysius from Young Fathers. Again, the latest record is called Cocoa Sugar. I highly recommend you pick it up now. And if you haven't already, please do hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening to so you can keep up with all the interviews we put out here every single week, whether you're listening on YouTube, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts from. After that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show every Monday through Thursday from noon to 3 Eastern, where you can also find some bonus episodes of this series. You can find me at Twitter, at Kyle Meredith, Facebook/Kyle Meredith. That does it for me this time. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.